Okay, let's unpack this. Usually, when you look at a stack of tech news, you're basically looking at incremental updates.
Right, like a slightly faster processor or maybe a UI tweak.
Exactly. Maybe a new smartphone color. You just glance at it and you move on with your day. But today is Sunday, March 15th, 2026.
And the sources we have today, I mean, they represent something completely different.
Yeah, we aren't looking at isolated updates here. We are looking at a massive coordinated shift in the digital infrastructure you use every single day.
That is exactly the right way to frame it. If you look at the through line across all these completely different sources, a very clear theme emerges.
Right.
We are watching the exact moment where technology stops being just a tool that you pick up and put down. As of today, it has officially become our nervous system.
And that is exactly why we are doing a complete top-to-bottom dissection of everything that just dropped. We want to make sure you are armed with the absolute ultimate intel for the week ahead.
Because you need to understand not just what is happening, but, exactly how it works under the hood.
So let's start with the update that is, honestly, probably the most deeply personal. We're talking about the physical merging of AI with human identity.
Specifically through voice, yeah. You're talking about the 11 Labs announcement out of SXSW 2026.
Right. So 11 Labs just announced their 1 million voices initiative. And this isn't just them, tweaking an algorithm for podcasters.
Not at all.
They are making a $1 billion commitment to give free enterprise-grade voice cloning to a million people who lost their voices to diseases like ALS or throat cancer.
And the anchor story they shared is just incredibly powerful.
It really is. It's about the actor Eric Dane.
Yeah.
He actually banked his voice with them before he passed away from ALS.
Yeah.
And now his wife, Rebecca Gayhart Dane, is leading this entire campaign. But, looking at the tech itself, it's easy to hear text-to-speech for patients and just picture that old Stephen Hawking voice.
The robotic one, yeah.
Right. But how is this actually different from that? Because we're talking about a completely different biological profile here, right?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the underlying engineering has just taken a massive leap. The old Stephen Hawking voice was essentially a phonetic synthesizer.
Meaning it just glued sounds together.
Exactly. You type a word and the computer strings together these pre-recorded monotone sounds. There was zero prosody, no emotion, no breath.
Just flat robot sounds.
Right. But the 11 Labs platform is built on deep neural networks. They use this technique called few-shot learning.
Which fundamentally changes the barrier to entry. Because, in the past, didn't you have to sit in a soundproof studio for 50 hours reading a dictionary?
Yeah, just so the software could map every single foam. But few-shot learning is the exact opposite.
How so?
The foundational AI model already intimately understands the structure of human speech. It just needs a tiny sample, a few shots, to understand how your specific voice deviates from the baseline.
Oh, wow. So how much audio does it actually need?
Less than 3 minutes of amateur audio. You could literally upload a noisy cell phone video from a birthday party 10 years ago.
And that works.
Yeah. And in under 5 minutes, the neural network compiles a complete hyper-realistic vocal profile.
That is wild. It's mapping the precise frequencies and the subtle breaths.
Yes, exactly. And the reports show it achieves a latency of under 100 milliseconds.
Wait, less than a tenth of a second?
Yes, essentially instantaneous. Meaning a patient can have a fluid, real-time conversation without that agonizing pause we used to see with assistive tech.
And I saw that when you pair that sub-100 millisecond latency with modern eye tracking, a paralyzed patient can just look at a screen to type.
And the AI speaks it in their exact voice instantly. Plus, the acoustic geometry is mapped so well that it has cross-lingual capabilities.
Wait, really? Like speaking other languages?
Yeah. If the patient only ever spoke English, the AI can still output their exact emotional tone in Arabic, Mandarin, or Persian. It maintains their acoustic signature completely.
So they are treating the voice as a biological right, not just software. But, here is the fascinating tension in our sources today.
The fallout in the legacy markets.
Right. While generative AI is creating these miracles in healthcare, it is completely dismantling legacy tech empires.
Because if an AI can generate a perfect human voice from a 3-minute compressed video.
Exactly. What does that do to a company built entirely on manually editing pixels?
You're pointing directly at the crisis unfolding at Adobe.
Yeah, big news there. Shantanu Narayen, the CEO of Adobe, is stepping down after an 18-year reign. And the market reaction was brutal.
Immediate 9% drop in after-hours stock.
Now, to be fair, Narayen is undeniably a titan. I mean, he took Adobe from selling CDs and cardboard boxes to a $240 billion cloud empire.
He grew their revenue from $3.1 billion to over $19
billion. So playing devil's advocate here, why quit right at the absolute peak of the mountain?
Well, he is walking away because the tectonic plates under that mountain are shifting drastically. It boils down to manipulation versus generation.
Right, because Adobe's entire DNA is about manipulation.
Yeah, you know? Yep. Exactly. Photoshop, Premiere, Illustrator. These are incredibly complex tools designed to manipulate existing content. You bring in a photo, you tweak pixels for hours.
But pure generative AI operates on a totally different paradigm.
Right. Things like Midjourney V7, OpenAI's Sora, Runway ML, they create content from thin air based on pure intent.
Hold on. Adobe isn't just ignoring AI. They have Firefly built right into Photoshop. You can highlight a background and just type, add a mountain.
They do, but it's fundamentally bolted onto a legacy workflow. The core interface still assumes you want to manually manage layers and masks.
Oh, I see. So it's still an editing tool at heart.
Right. Narayan's departure signals that the next decade requires a leader whose DNA is built entirely on deep learning. Frank Calderoni is searching for a successor now, and it's going to be a nightmare.
Because the new CEO has to convince millions of professional designers to keep paying that hefty monthly subscription.
Exactly. And what's the value of that subscription if a simple text prompt can output a cinematic 3D render in 10 seconds?
The designer doesn't need to spend 4 hours in Illustrator anymore. It's a ruthless lesson. The Matrix just has zero respect for nostalgia.
Processing speed doesn't care about legacy workflows. If you can't adapt, your business model breaks.
Which pivots us perfectly to a legacy company that actually is adapting. And they're doing it by fundamentally changing how we interact with computers.
You're talking about Microsoft.
Yeah. While Adobe's manual visual tools are dying, Windows 11 is actively giving its operating system the ability to see. Let's talk about the new smart screenshot for Copilot.
This is a major leap in what we call multimodal vision injection.
Right. And to help you visualize this at home, think about your daily workflow. This isn't just an updated snipping tool.
No, it's not just dragging a box and saving a JPEG.
It's like having an expert pair programmer constantly looking over your shoulder. Like if you take a screenshot of a convoluted Excel chart.
Historically, an AI would just see a grid of colored pixels.
But with this update, Copilot instantly extracts the numbers. And it can actually find hidden formula errors, right?
Yeah, it understands the spatial relationship between the columns and rows. Or think about software development.
Oh yeah, the coding example was wild.
If you screenshot a compiler error in Visual Studio, the vision model understands the visual context. It sees the syntax highlighting, the file structure, and points to the exact bug.
But wait, didn't Microsoft try this recently with Windows Recall?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it a massive privacy disaster where it basically spied on you constantly?
That is the elephant in the room. But the architecture here makes all the difference. Recall was an always-on recording system.
Because it saved everything locally, right?
Yeah, it used an unencrypted Squalite database to capture your screen state in the background constantly. Smart Screenshot uses per-context privacy.
Meaning the system is blind until you explicitly click confirm and hand it a pair of glasses.
Precisely. The image is only sent to your neural processing unit, or NPU, when you explicitly execute the screenshot command.
And the tech making this possible is a lightweight GPT-4o vision model hooked directly into the DWM layer.
The desktop window manager, yeah.
Which is the part of Windows that actually draws the graphics on your monitor. By hooking it in there, they eliminate a massive amount of lag.
The visual inference times are under 300 milliseconds on the new Snapdragon X Elite chips.
Under 300 milliseconds. So it's seeing and analyzing your screen basically at the speed of human thought.
Exactly.
But there is a physical ceiling to how fast Copilot can process all that. To get that latency on a global scale, you need staggering hardware compute power.
And right now, one single company essentially holds the world hostage for that compute.
Right, which perfectly sets up the hardware war. Elon Musk and Tesla are making a massive move into the AI chip market.
They are trying to break NVIDIA's monopoly.
NVIDIA has these insane 80% profit margins on their B200 Blackwell chips. But now Tesla is selling its Dojo supercomputers and T2 chips directly to data centers.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to understand the architectural difference here. NVIDIA builds general-purpose GPUs.
Meaning they contain wasted transistors meant for rendering video game graphics and polygons.
Right.
Exactly. But Tesla's D2 is a pure ASIC, an application-specific integrated circuit.
So if NVIDIA is like a Swiss Army knife, Tesla just built a scalpel.
That's a perfect analogy. The D2 is ruthlessly dedicated 100% to multiplying matrices for vision models and LLMs.
And they use wafer scale integration, which is crazy.
It solves the physical distance problem. Normally, chips have to communicate over copper wires on a motherboard,
which creates lag.
Right. But Tesla leaves the chips integrated on a single massive wafer. The data never leaves the silicon.
Eliminating the memory bottlenecks and achieving sub-nanosecond node latency.
Sub-nanosecond. It's incredibly fast.
Plus, the chips are 30% cheaper and 40% faster. And the reason you should care about this is that companies like OpenAI and Meta are paying billions in ransom to NVIDIA.
Tesla is evolving from a car company into the foundational infrastructure of this new cybernetic matrix.
Which brings us to how this massive compute actually makes it into your pocket. Who is going to deliver this to billions of smartphones?
The Apple and Google mega deal.
Yeah, the biggest software shocker of this whole deep dive. Apple Intelligence is officially dumping ChatGPT and replacing it with Google Gemini Ultra for iOS 20.
It is a massive pivot.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Apple made a huge deal out of OpenAI just last year. Why would Tim Cook suddenly hand the keys to the kingdom over to his biggest rival, Sundar Pichai?
Well, there were three massive bugs in the Apple and OpenAI alliance. The first was scalability.
OpenAI just didn't have the servers.
Right. They lacked the server compute to handle 2 billion Apple devices without latency. Siri can't take 10 seconds to set a timer.
Fair point. What was the second bug?
Privacy. Google's cloud TPU v5e allowed physical hardware partitioning.
Oh, which perfectly aligns with Apple's strict private cloud compute protocol.
Exactly. And the third was ecosystem integration. Gemini isn't just a chatbot.
Right. It connects to live, real-time data. Maps, flights, YouTube, Google search.
ChatGPT just couldn't reliably do that. So Google solved the scalability, privacy, and ecosystem issues.
Meaning, Google now controls the underlying AI brains of both Android and iOS.
They basically own the mobile nervous system now.
But think about the scale here. AI is cloning voices, reading our spreadsheets, running server farms, and deeply embedded in our iPhones.
The amount of highly sensitive data is unprecedented.
Which brings us to the ultimate question. What happens if the encryption fails?
You're talking about Q-Day.
Yeah, the looming cyber apocalypse, when quantum computers become powerful enough to shatter RSA and AES encryption in minutes.
It's terrifying. But today, IonQ introduced what they call the Quantum Shield.
The world's first commercially available impenetrable security system for data centers. And the physics behind this are just mind-bending.
Up until now, security was based on mathematical complexity. IonQ's system is based on particle physics.
Right. Instead of sending classic binary code that a hacker can copy in a man-in-the-middle attack, IonQ uses quantum key distribution.
QKD via trapped ion architecture. Keys are coded onto single photons in a state of quantum entanglement.
So, translating the Heisenberg uncertainty principle here, because observing a quantum particle actually changes its state.
If a hacker even looks at the data, the photon collapses.
It's like a digital tripwire that instantly cuts the connection. Hacking it literally violates the laws of physics.
Exactly. It kicks off a brand new cybernetic Cold War where the standard shifts from math to particle physics.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you as you head into the week? We have covered massive ground today.
We really have.
We've gone from AI granting biological voice rights to the death of traditional pixel editing. We saw operating systems get eyes, the rise of pure AI ASICs, the Apple and Google mega deal, and finally, physics-based quantum security.
The through line is clear. Companies that fail to adapt to this new processing speed will simply be swallowed by the matrix.
And before we go, we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Yeah, we've seen today how tech has become our nervous system. From Google powering the thoughts in our iPhones to Copilot literally seeing our screens. But if your OS anticipates your errors before you make them, and generative AI handles your creative output, at what point does our reliance on this new nervous system quietly strip away our own cognitive independence? If the matrix is doing all the thinking, are we still the ones driving?
That is a wild thought to end on. Thank you so much for joining us in the garage today to debug the future. Stay curious, stay informed, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.